Hey everyone, welcome back to You Enjoy Life. And this is really just a podcast that's all about helping you live a better life through, you know, experiences and kind of opening your mind up to new possibilities. Because for me, life has just been this wild journey, and I started off as this sort of unaware kid just living life, going through the motions. And then one day something kind of unlocked, and in the last 10 years or so I've been on this journey to just kind of discover myself and discover what it means to live. So I'm really just here to share different ideas, different concepts, different thoughts that might help you live a better life, see things more clearly, experience more joy, less pain, and all that good stuff. So if you are just joining us, welcome. And if you've been around for a while and you do enjoy this podcast, I've been told if you go on iTunes and give me 5 stars, that helps. I don't love asking for things, but also I get, you know, I really enjoy making this podcast, and I think the more people that hear it, the better. So that is what we're doing. So let us talk about addiction. I recently put out an episode on Brothers Green called What You Can Cook for a Serious Video Game Addiction, and my videos have been shifting a little bit. I've always believed that food was more than just food. I've always seen food as like a vehicle for an experience, but I've had trouble for many years kind of blending the two, and I would throw in my little thoughts and ideas and philosophies and things here and there, but it was always about the food. At the end of the day, like, you know, the video, if you're just watching as kind of passing on, you're seeing the recipe, you know, you might pick up some little things or be inspired, but, you know, it's still heavily about the recipe. So recently I've been kind of shifting up my focus and focusing less on just the food and more on the experience and what it can do in your life. So I've been, you know, becoming more and more aware, especially since stopping playing video games many years ago, that video game playing has gotten kind of out of hand. And I think it's for a lot of reasons. For one, you know, if you're someone who just enjoys video games, cool. But there are a lot of people that have serious addictions, and there's even places now that you can go kind of like for rehab for drugs, but for people that struggle with video games. And a lot of people kind of balk or laugh at that. And, you know, I get why it might not seem like a big deal, but addiction is a serious thing, and it can come in many forms. You know, it's not just through drugs and alcohol. It can be video games. It can be sex. It can be, honestly, anything that sort of takes your, you know, your life away and puts you in like a place where you need something. So I'm going to actually look up the definition of addiction, just to give you guys like a beginning sense. So addiction is the fact or condition of being addicted to a particular substance, thing, or activity. So what does addicted mean? Because I like to look up the words within the words. Addicted. Definition. Let us see. I always find, like, even if I know what a word means, sometimes looking the definition up, it's amazing how clear it makes something. Because it's like people ask you, what does that mean? And like, you can give your example, but like the whole point of the dictionary is to make it the most concise, simple answer, and there's so much meaning within that. So addicted means physically and mentally dependent on a particular substance and unable to stop taking it without incurring adverse effects. And that's one definition. There's also enthusiastically devoted to a particular thing or activity, which doesn't sound as bad. So here's the thing about addiction. In this write-up, physically and mentally dependent on a particular substance. So there are many, many forms of addiction, as I said. And in this definition, they're talking about the substance specifically. But to me, when someone has an addiction, it's something that if they stop doing that thing, they're going to have an adverse effect. And not only that, but they're also going to struggle to stop doing that thing. So if you have a video game addiction, it's something you're going to do all the time, very, very often. And when you're not doing it, you might have sort of withdrawal. People have video game withdrawal where they get, you know, really restless and uncomfortable and stressed out and freaked out. You know, when you're doing it, you feel good. The reason it's an addiction is because when you're doing it, you feel good. It's like drugs. When you're, you know, when you're getting high or whatever it is, like, it feels good. And you need that feeling to continue to live. So you're addicted to that thing. People drink, you know, for alcoholics, if you're an alcoholic, you're addicted to alcohol. You need to drink to feel good. When you're not drinking, you feel withdrawal. You know, you get sick, you get nauseous, you get jittery, and all these things happen. And not all that long ago, I had a friend who ended up going to rehab for alcohol and drug addiction. And it was really challenging, you know, for him, obviously, but, you know, for me and some of our friends, like, just to kind of talk to him and be there and support him, it can be really scary when your friend is going through that. And, you know, alcohol addiction specifically, what's wild is it's more dangerous withdrawal than heroin addiction. There's no one that's ever died from withdrawal from heroin, but people have died from withdrawal from alcohol because the body becomes so like dependent on it that when you lose it, it like kind of starts to shut down. So it's a really hard and scary thing to sort of overcome that. So alcohol is obviously a huge source of addiction. I would say it's one of the most prevalent, most obvious, most like just widespread addictions, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't take another addiction seriously if it's something that you struggle with. I myself have struggled with different addictions and seen where I need things, you know, like I talked about in this podcast, stopping smoking marijuana. And that was a big thing for me. Like there's so many studies that show like, hey, marijuana, like it's not addicting and everything's okay and it's great. And it there's no, and here's the thing, there might be no physical addictions. This is what I've seen. People say, oh, it's not addicting. It's like there's no withdrawal symptoms and this and that. It might not be physically addicting in the way that like heroin is, where like it really completely consumes your body, you know, and the withdrawal is like so intense. However, I think with addiction, if you feel like you need something and you're doing that thing often and you're thinking about doing that thing often, and when you do that thing, it gives you a sense of like relief. And when you're not doing that thing, it kind of creates this problem. To me, that's the base of addiction. Of course, there are different levels, and I didn't think I needed to go to rehab to get help. I was able to kind of kick it, and I actually have not smoked since July, like July 2nd or 3rd or something very, very early, maybe July, I think it was like July 6th. So July, August, September, October, November. So yeah, I've been 4 months, let's say exact, oh wow. Yeah, I think exactly 4 months without smoking any weed. I'm also just not a big drinker. I'm going to Spain, so I imagine we'll drink a little bit of wine, but for me, like, it's not something I crave, you know? But weed was a different thing. It was something where every night I would get home and I would just have this craving and feel like I need this to feel good. I need this to kind of snap into this other state, to get outside of work, to get outside of stress. It became an escape, and it became this, like, this problem for me where I wouldn't say, like, I was some crazy big pothead who was, like, waking up in the morning, getting high, and going to work and getting high. Like, I was very much like an at night smoker, where, you know, a full day of work was done, I would smoke a little bit, just a very small amount every night. It was like one hit and I was good, but I needed that hit to like be able to enjoy myself and kind of go be excited, be inspired, and be creative and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, I'm creating this like weird relationship to this weird addiction I need to get off. So when I did this episode for video games, I think one of the things that really fueled it, I started doing this thing of what you can cook for, and it started out with just food, like what you can cook for the price of McDonald's or a cup of coffee or a Domino's pizza. And then someone that we work with suggested doing the price of video games. And when I was first doing it, I was like, okay, I could do an episode on like, hey, video games are expensive. Like $60 for a new video game, I can feed, you know, 60 people, and that could be a whole thing. When I really started thinking about it, I'm like, how could I serve a better purpose? Because I think that anyone could take my idea, that basic idea, and do it just as well. But how can I do something different that's unique to the way I see things or the way I'm going to think? So I've been kind of doing some research and talking to people. And one thing that I learned was that parents are starting to pay, you know, have their kids tutored in video games so they don't fall behind. And I was thinking about like how challenging it must be now for parents to say like, hey, you can't play video games because you need to live your life. You're never going to make anything of yourself. When like the biggest YouTuber in the world, the biggest YouTuber in the entire world, like got his start and still does play video games. People watch him. And that's one of the biggest industries too in the world, where kids just play video games and people make lots of money. I was watching this thing for like Halo, just doing some research, and there was this competition and kids just playing the game, and the winner got $25 million. And, you know, I interviewed this guy, Cam Adair, and he does this thing called GameQuitters.com, and he was addicted to video games. And in the video, if you watch it, you'll see him talk about his experience, like deceiving people, lying to his family, only playing video games, eating like chips and drinking soda and McDonald's, and that's it, just to like sustain and survive his video game habit. And he talked about why people have video game addiction and really went into detail about it. And I was really appreciative of him because he created this thing called GameQuitters.com, a place where you can go to have resources and support to, you know, if you struggle with video game addiction. But he was saying this thing, he was like, you know, it's like people want to go to the NBA, and you know, he's like, you look at us, we're like 5 foot whatever, 5 foot nothing, and you know, we have no shot at the NBA. But like the amount of people that play that want to be basketball players versus like video gamers, it's actually like there's so many more people that play video games, so there's actually even more competition. But then I was thinking about that, and I was like, it's true, but what about the other fact that it was a lot of kids who could never even dream to play in the NBA, just like because of size or physical condition, like they could become really good at playing a video game and sitting on their couch, you know, because maybe that's like how their brain works. So it makes it almost even more challenging to say like, hey, yeah, like I get you can make money off this, but what's the level like where you're just escaping from reality, especially as games get more and more immersive in virtual reality and all this stuff. So if you do struggle with video game addiction or any kind of addiction, what I would say is the first thing is just to like acknowledge that you have a problem. You know, I mean, that's one of the biggest things, like in the 12th step, they say from what I know, you know, acknowledging that you have an addiction. And even if you don't know if you have an addiction, I think a lot of people are like, well, I don't have an addiction, but like I could probably back off. Even if you feel like you're doing too much of something, it doesn't have to be like the extreme, but if you have a problem, acknowledge it first to yourself, write it down, say like, hey, you know, I'm struggling with this. I want to make a change. And then you can actually start to reach out to people, and you can actually create conversations with friends and with family based around what's going on and get support. And maybe it's not the best to talk to someone who also loves playing video games. Like I wouldn't talk to, you know, your best friend who you play games with all the time, because they might have an issue too. But talk to someone that you feel like you can trust, or someone that you feel like is a little bit more level-headed, or even seek a professional's help. I mean, if you really feel like it's a problem. Because addiction, I think the biggest challenging part about addiction is that such a large percentage of people have some kind of addiction. Far more than are reported, because most people just live and kind of get away with it. But so many people are addicted to something, and even like social media and phones. Like I find myself sometimes, I'm like, am I addicted to like social media? You know, I work in social media. Like I'm checking my phone during the day, like a lot. You know, I wake up in the morning sometimes, I'm just checking my phone and my email to see what's going on, like escaping, using that as an escape. And I'm like, okay, like, I don't need to go to rehab for this of any means, but like, it is something I need to think about. Why am I doing this? And I think that is a huge part of the thing. Like, why are you escaping using this thing, whether it's a video game or going on Facebook or some kind of drug? What is it about that thing? And I think the drugs, it's especially intense and challenging because, you know, when you take a substance, they say heroin is like, I think, one of the most addicting drugs ever, and like you can be addicted after doing it once, because like physically and emotionally it's so intense and it feels like so good that people do it once and are like, this is like way better than life, you know, because you get this super shoot up. But then you're always chasing the up. Anything that gives you that like super high, you're going to be chasing that, you know, and then nothing seems to be as good. And I think that's where a big struggle happens, and that's what you see a lot in video game addiction, is people, they're a little shy or socially awkward, and they turn on their TV and they start playing this game, and you know, they start getting good at it, and all of a sudden they're like winning and they're accomplishing something. And maybe in life they're bullied, you know, or maybe like they don't get good grades or they struggle in school. So all of a sudden they're playing their game and they're winning and they're going to the next level and they're getting upgrades, and maybe they're playing multiplayer online. They're talking to people and they're like talking trash and they enjoy it and they laugh, and these become their friends because they feel comfortable kind of hiding behind this character. But that's not going to get any better. It's just going to get more and more and more. It's like with technology, like I said, in virtual reality and stuff, things are going to get more and more immersive and more intense. So if you do struggle, it's like now's the time to start thinking about, is this the life I want to live? Is there really any achievement? Even if you made a lot of money, and listen, if you're a professional gamer and you feel good about it and you have a good balanced life, cool. Because the truth is, anyone can get addicted to any work. It's not about, like, you could be a professional gamer and make money and make a lot of money. Like, if that's something that you really want to do and you want to pursue, cool. But just like any other thing, if you're doing it, you know, 16, 18 hours a day, and you're doing nothing else, not talking to people and not eating well and taking care of yourself, it's like, okay, you want to start looking at that. And I talked to someone who worked at a video game store, and she was saying one of the reasons that I included a little clip of this in my episode, but one of the reasons that she thinks that people get addicted to video games too isn't just because they're enjoyable, because as a sort of as a parent, it's like, if you're busy, if you're a busy parent, I see this all the time. It's easy to kind of give your kid like a video game or a screen or something and say, hey, check this iPad out. Like just, you know, like I'm busy, I'm doing my thing. Especially a lot of parents are like, you know, becoming entrepreneurs and leaving jobs, all these things. It's like, all right, just like take the screen, be occupied. So a kid from a very young age gets conditioned to see screens and to kind of be excited by lights and flashing and all these things. And then it becomes harder to like go outside and enjoy just being in the woods, because there is this, there's this inner working, this mechanism. And one thing Cam talked about was, he was saying that, you know, video games are designed to get you hooked. He's like, you know, they'll say these games are fun, but they don't really define actually what fun means, you know? And I thought that was kind of interesting. Like they're not, that the designers aren't really explaining like what they mean, but when they say fun, you know, does fun mean that it's like this really exciting experience that's meant to like hook you into it so you don't stop playing or whatever it is? So, and they do a lot of research and they figure out what are the things people want, because they want to make the game better. They want to make more money. And in order for them to make more money, it's just like a drug dealer. You got to have good product. You know, if you have good product, people are going to keep coming back. And if the game is good, people are going to keep coming back and buying more. They're thinking about making money. That's like, if you really think about it, for most people and most businesses, the bottom line is how much money can we make off this? So if you're a video game maker, you have to think within the parameters of what we're allowed to do, how much money can we make off this? And if it's okay to do research and figure out what gets kids buying and rebuying and playing all the time, because the more they play, the more money we're going to make. If we can figure that out, we're going to do it and we're going to go for it and we're going to make as much money as we possibly can. Because most corporations are frankly set up like that. And I'm not saying it's good or bad, or like I, you know, blame them for doing that. I get it. A lot of people are driven, most people are driven by money, because at the end of the day, money is this thing that we perceive that gets us the things that we want. It keeps us safe and secure, and all that stuff. So I think that the real reason I want to talk about all this is just to kind of open you up to some potential concepts. Me being someone expressing like, hey, I've had addictions. I still have things I struggle with, but I tell people about them. And when I hide them, it's the worst. When my wife is like, are you checking your phone? And like, you're checking your phone a lot. And I'm like, no. And I start defending myself. That is when I start to see that I have an issue, you know? Before, when it's like, you're smoking a lot of weed or whatever. It's like, and I'm like, no. Like, I have a whole reasoning. And it's like, well, you know, it's not really that much. I only do this. And like, when you have your whole thing, if people are pointing it out, there's probably some kind of problem. So don't be afraid to just be honest. Be like, yeah, you know, it's been a struggle. I don't know why. Don't be embarrassed. I don't know why I'm doing this. But I am, and I would like some help. And asking for help is the first step. After, let's just say, after admitting that you have a problem, then just asking for some kind of help. So there's a lot of elements to this, but I hope you guys enjoyed this talk today. It's been so wonderful just getting to talk to everybody, and also, of course, the support has been amazing. I want to thank you all for that, just like listening. So if you want to share this with someone that might need it, that would be awesome. There's always light at the end of the tunnel, even though like life can be very challenging. And I think it's designed in a lot of ways to challenge us. I really do believe that. I think that maybe that's even why people love video games so much, because there's a challenge and a reward. And I mean, everything, I think at the bottom of it has that design, because things that are easy aren't fun. They're not rewarding. There's no payoff for something simple. It's like the challenge, whether we realize it or not, is giving us the reward. And life has many challenges, and we have to figure out who we are, why we are what we are. Not blame, not say, well, I have an addiction because of this person, or, you know, my dad did this, whatever. It's like, no, this is something you have. You got to take responsibility for yourself. And when you take responsibility for yourself, life starts to change. It's actually extremely empowering. When you actually realize that you're responsible for how you feel and what you do and what's happened to you, at first it seems scary because you're like, well, I don't have anybody to blame. But then it becomes so incredibly freeing. It becomes this amazing thing where you're like, wow, if I'm responsible how I feel, I can change it. And so I do hope you guys make a change in your life if that's something that you need. Never hesitate to write in youenjoylifemusic@gmail.com. If I can, I will always do my best to respond. But I do read everything that comes in. So I really appreciate you guys just being open and being honest. It's been amazing. Peace out.